Do you look at your sport as a mission field? Through doing this podcast, I have learned that all sports can and they should be used as a mission field for those that proclaim Jesus as their Savior. No matter if you're a freshman never playing or a senior playing every single day, you are called to live out the gospel by how you play, how you act, and everything that you do on a field or on a court. And that is exactly what our guest today has been doing for years now. Phil Morrison, aka the Basketball Missionary, joins the show today to talk about why God has called him to spread the gospel while teaching basketball to thousands of people. As a former collegiate and pro basketball player, Phil uses his life experiences to show others what Jesus has done for him and what he continues to do through him as he travels the world, teaching the game of basketball and preaching the word of God. So let's get into it today with Phil Morrison. Welcome back to the Competing for Christ podcast. My name is Ken Burke, and today we are talking to Phil Basketball Missionary Morrison. Thanks for joining the show today, sir. How are you doing?
I appreciate it, man. Thank you for inviting me in, Ken, and I'm honored. I'm honored to be on, and hopefully this encourages some people.
Yeah, it's an honor to have you on. I think you've had such an incredible journey to get to where you are today through college basketball, through pro basketball, but I really want to just first ask you, how have you seen God move in your life through sports?
You know, I think that's why I'm so committed to it, and I had thought about going down the route of pastoral ministry. And, you know, actually one of my pastors and mentors, he encouraged me not to go down that route because he said, you have an incredible impact through basketball, like the doors that have opened to you and the opportunities to come. There's no way, you know, him as a pastor, he told me I would ever be able to reach some of the people you are reaching.
Mom.
And so he really encouraged me to stay in this lane. And for me, you know, I've always said the way God reached me was through basketball and many things because it was so important to me. It was my identity for so many years. And, you know, just as Jesus met Peter on the water as a fisherman, you know, the Lord met me in a lot of ways through basketball. And so now what I'm seeing is how powerful of a platform that is to be able to redeem that and use it as a way of being fisher of men. I always say, you know, I'm just using a basketball net. That's how I fish. So that's probably the context of what basketball and faith and what all that means to me.
Yeah. Wow. That's an insane analogy. You just dropped some wisdom right there. Holy cow. That's awesome. And what was the best part of playing collegiate basketball? You played at Asbury, correct?
Yes.
You play at Asbury and you went pro overseas. What was the best part of playing basketball in those competitive situations?
I could go a lot of routes. I think when it comes to college ball, you know, part of my testimony is out of high school, I went to a college just outside of Chicago, NAIA school, and then I quit for 2 years. And that's when I became a Christian and had a radical kind of, you know, Saul turning into Paul, road to Damascus journey. So when I came back to basketball, you know, I viewed it purely as a platform and a blessing, whereas it had been my identity. Where I find a lot of people struggle is they make basketball their identity and their identity is not in Christ. Mm. So coming back, I was actually able to enjoy it. So in college, it was just a blessing of being able to play basketball, being able to be in a classroom again. I got married, me and my wife got married at a young age, 20, 21, so I was married, been working a full-time job as a security guard, and suddenly I'm back into playing college basketball, and I got to enjoy the blessing of getting my degree. So there was that part, and then playing overseas, I think the best part for me outside of God revealing to me what the next step of my life was, which was use basketball to share the gospel, it was just the traveling and the culture. You know, being able to experience, you know, playing in six different countries and just the different cultures and how big the world is. And it just changes your whole paradigm and understanding. So I think that's probably what I enjoyed the most about playing at a high level.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you saw so many different, like you said, cultures when you went to six different countries, and you saw how they look at sports, right? Is it very similar throughout the world? Like, you know, a lot of athletes have that identity crisis and a lot of identity issues. Is that the same no matter where you go in the country? Is there kind of different discrepancies?
Yeah, I think you could say that for any sport or anything that you're really going to excel at. The battle is always going to be over the heart and what you identify. Hmm. If you look at what my biggest thing with basketball was, it was my first love. You know, I tell my wife all the time, you're the love of my life, but you're not my first love. My first love was basketball.
Yeah.
And so that's where you get your confidence from. You know, if you're good at something, you tend to find your friends around that. You identify and you're known as a basketball player. And so I think the struggle with so many athletes is they fall into what I've seen, which is performance-based love. The way they feel loved and accepted is through their performance. And usually that's in sports world. So you tend to have a lot of perfectionism, a lot of very toxic relationships. And so for me, the big shift was when I came to Jesus, my identity was now in Christ, not in my performance. And that's very important to separate those two, because basketball used to be my identity and not just a blessing. And so once I switched that around and my identity was in Jesus, then basketball just became a blessing. All the pressure kind of went away. And honestly, I became a way, way better player because of something like that, you know what I mean? And so I think that's where people tend to get it mixed up, is the difference between identity and blessing.
Yeah, that's so true. And I love what you said. You know, it takes the pressure off of you, because you don't have, it's not like your day is going to be made or broke on how you do on the basketball court, right? And I would love if you shared, however in depth you want to go, how did that step away from basketball? How did that really help you find Christ? What was that process like for you?
Yeah, it actually happened in reverse. I actually came to the Lord, and you know, I think the big thing was when I actually understood the gospel in the sense of what Jesus said, that he did not come for the well, he came for the sick. You know, I grew up going to church, but I'm here in Louisville, Kentucky, so I'm a good kid, man. I'm a hard worker, good kid, go to church, respectful. I had never really seen what I think everybody has to see when they come to Jesus, which was, it was my own personal sin that put Jesus on the cross. It wasn't the Jews, it wasn't the Romans, it was me.
Hmm.
And my whole life, I had looked at it in the context of being good, and I didn't realize the issue is sin, man. I've got to get my sin forgiven. If I rob a bank and give the money to the poor and I get caught and I go before a judge, the judge is not going to care necessarily that I gave the money to the poor. That might be a good deed. I got to answer for the crime committed. And so for me, when I came to Jesus and I understood it was my sin to put him on the cross, you know, what I always tell people is, before you can receive the grace and mercy that comes from the cross, you first have to admit your own guilt in it. And that just radically changed my heart. And I realized, one, my need for a savior. And then two, I realized how basketball had been like my God. It had been my primary idol in my life. So, you know, I really kind of set that down for a period of time. And I didn't play for 2 years. You know, I joke about this story. I was 19. I came to the Lord. I quit basketball, didn't play for 2 years. And I think me and Larry Bird are the only two with this story where we quit for 2 years and came back and became way better. You know what I mean? So for me, that was the key, is once I had Jesus on the throne of my heart, then I was able to play at a different level with a freedom. Whereas what I see is most players were like me. The thing that gives them the most joy is also the thing that causes them the most misery. And basketball gave me the most joy, but it was also the source of my greatest misery because I was always beating myself up, always so hard on myself, and never gave myself any room to truly grow. And I think that's what's going to happen whenever you don't have Christ as the center, as an athlete, a coach, a trainer, whatever it might be. You're going to be off balance. You're not going to have any anchor or stability emotionally, spiritually, until you get those two straight.
Yeah, and I think I saw a video of you talking about perfectionism and how that has affected you, and how that affected you as an athlete and just as a person. How have you been able to combat that perfectionism? Because, I mean, like the Bible says, all have fallen short of the glory of God. What can athletes do to combat that? And you know, we want to be great. We want to be the best athlete that we can be, but we can never be perfect. So what would you say to that?
You know, first, I think it's important to define that what perfectionism is, you know, in athletes, and it looks different ways. You know, when you get into athletics, the thing is, there's always a scoreboard. There's always the next challenge. Especially the higher you go, what you'll find is that it's very hard for them to ever enjoy the moment because they're trying to get the next inch, or there's the next practice or the next game or whatever the next goal is going to be. And so for a perfectionist, they're chasing something that doesn't exist. Mm. They're chasing the perfect game or the perfect practice. And of course, it's set up for you to never reach it, which makes you, that deals with your identity and your self-worth. And we think sometimes a perfectionist looks like the kid that misses a couple shots or has a bad game and then he's angry or kicks the ball or whatever. But it also, perfectionism looks like a very talented player who's afraid to fail, and so they hold back and they don't give their all when other people see the potential they have. So it kind of manifests itself in different ways. And what I would say is for a perfectionist is a double-edged sword. You need that desire to be great that pushes you. That's usually your primary fuel. But on the same side, you got to give yourself a little bit of room to be a human, to make mistakes. That's why I'm so big. I work with primarily kids, of teaching them the growth mindset. You know what I mean? Of giving them tangible tools of not beating yourself up, not being so hard on yourself, but actually being able to take a step back and be like, okay, with this loss, what's the lesson? Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm having a bad shooting day, instead of beating myself up, how about I take inventory of, did I get my legs into it? Do I hold my follow through? So that's very important when you talk about perfectionism. Everybody has a certain degree of perfectionism, but just understanding that you've got to give yourself a little bit of room to grow and accept that as part of the process.
How do you think pro basketball has affected that? Because, I mean, we all saw The Last Dance. We all know what Michael Jordan was and what he was as an athlete. And obviously, he was a perfectionist. He wanted all of his teammates to be, you know, the best that they could be. And he wanted to be the best. How have you looked up to those athletes, but also balance that tension of giving yourself a little room too?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that leads into the competitive Christian. Mm. I've talked about this a lot, and I really struggle with this, man, in college. I really didn't turn the corner, honestly, till I got overseas. But I'll tell this story about David and Goliath when I come to the competitive Christian, because I'm a Michael Jordan guy. I love Michael Jordan, he's the GOAT. Mm-hmm. It's not a conversation. But what I will say about that style is when I came to Jesus, I really struggled with how do I justify being a killer on the court too. Mm. And what I realized is if I'm not giving my all, then I can't truly glorify God with my talent or platform if I'm holding back. And one of the best examples I've ever heard is when David fought Goliath and defeated him in the name of the Lord, he didn't apologize when he cut his head off, and he did it in the name of the Lord.
Wow.
And so there's a way to glorify God, to be competitive without necessarily making it prideful, where it's you're being boastful or you're pointing back to you. There's a way to do that. And so I've always used that example of David and Goliath, of if I feel called to this, then I can glorify God by giving my all without trying to show somebody else up.
Mm. Wow. That's a great example. That's so different than what you hear, like what you usually hear about competitiveness and being a Christian. Like, it's usually like, you know, you can't be that killer, you know what I mean? But in order to truly glorify God, I think you're really correct. Like, you, in order to do that, you have to give your all and have that killer instinct, if that's what it takes. Why do you think God called you to this mission field? Like, obviously basketball is your mission field. That's what, you know, your nickname is. Why do you think he's called you to that?
Okay. So the reason why I think I've moved towards this route of focusing on sports ministry is, you know, when I was playing professionally in the Philippines, I was working with another missionary, and between my practices and games, he would take me into the slums, man. They call them squatter areas. And that really changed the course of my life because, you know, like here in America, you need to promote and advertise. And over there, you could just show up with a bat, with some basketballs. And I mean, dude, hundreds of kids and people would show up on the spot. You didn't even have to promote this thing. And, you know, that they would come, dude, and they had filthy clothes, holes in their clothes, no shoes. But man, they had so much joy. They received everything we said as gospel, any basketball teaching they received. And at the end, they would always have me get up and share my testimony in the gospel. And what I realized was God used that time to really shift my focus to understand this is the purpose of the game of basketball in my life. And I love the old saying of, can you give your definition of your why in 7 seconds or less? Rick Pitino used to make his assistant coach give, if they talked in practice, they had to say whatever they were going to say in 7 seconds or less. And if they went over or it wasn't good, he would take away their right to even talk in practice. And so I had a coach challenge me, hey, what is your why with the game of basketball in 7 seconds or less? Mm. And I thought about it and I said, man, I can give it to you in 7 words. I use basketball to share the gospel.
Wow.
That 7 words, I know you're counting right now, but it's for sure. And so with that, if I cut out all the fluff, I realized that is why God allowed me to play college and pro ball. I think God allowed me to play further than my talent was. Man, I think I squeezed all the toothpaste out of the tube, man, when it comes to basketball talent. And so he used that time when I was overseas to show me the bigger purpose of the game of basketball for me. And where I really got the one with the name Basketball Missionary was back in 2020. Man, what a tough year for everybody. But in 2020, my younger sister was killed. And going through that process of grieving, and my father asked me to officiate her funeral, I really just, you know, when you go through a loss and a death and the grieving process, you're a lot closer to eternity. And so I, through that process, I really prayed and asked the Lord, like, what is the purpose of what I'm doing? You know, I was doing Hoops of Christ. I was sharing the gospel. And that's where the Lord really revealed to me that my purpose with the game is to be a missionary. So I actually focused on that. I changed all my social media handles to Basketball Missionary. And ever since 2020, I've been super intentional about trying to share the gospel and make disciples through the game of basketball.
Wow. I mean, first of all, I'm so sorry about your sister. That's I'm sure that was so hard, difficult for you and your family. And that's such a interesting perspective to have, because I think a lot of people nowadays see basketball as an entertainment industry and not really, you know, as a mission field per se. What can athletes do to shift their mindset to have that same mindset if basketball is a mission field?
you can't really give something you don't have. I had this conversation with another coach just yesterday, and what I think above all is we get into basketball because we feel passionate about it, or we get into some kind of sport and coaching training because we feel like it gives us a sense of purpose. But calling is your purpose on steroids. If you're called to something, you're not going to be able to stop that person. And so what I always say is, think of it as you're trying to make an eternal impact. It's kind of like throwing a rock into the water. Throw a rock into a pond. Where the rock hits the water and you see the splash, that's the point of impact. I always say that is where we live. That's in the gym, that's on the field, that's on the court, and you see that. But you don't always see how far the ripple goes out. And I always say, man, what a shame it would be if I helped somebody get results in basketball and I didn't make an eternal impact, man. I want to see people in heaven. I want to see people that I train or coach, or that's my ultimate goal, is I want to sow the seed of the gospel into their life. And as one man sows, another man waters, God brings the increase. So I think it's more about just being intentional with your platform. And that kind of opens up a whole nother can of worms of why people don't do that when it comes to business or money or clout or opportunity. But for me personally, in my life, I had to really surrender all of it to the Lord. He made that very clear to me. That was the purpose of the game of basketball in my life.
Mm. Why did you start Hoops for Christ? And what's the mission behind that?
I started Hoops for Christ going back to when I was in the Philippines. I was working with a missionary named Steve Siebert and a man who had a prison ministry called Pastor Ghani. So when I was in the Philippines, he had this ministry called the Salvation Teams. And basically, it was a perfect tandem. I prayed, God, connect me with the right people when I go to this country so I don't waste my platform. He was praying, Lord, give me like a pro player to be kind of like the face of the ministry.
Wow.
Because he was an older guy, older white guy in the Philippines, and he did a little bit, but he couldn't necessarily get out there on the court. So it was just a perfect partnership. So as I began to go out with him, you know, that it was just a powerful thing. I saw what he did, how he would partner with churches or pastors. He'd go to a local basketball court. Sometimes we'd feed them, sometimes clothe them. We'd give them Bibles, share the gospel. It was just powerful, and I loved the format of what he did. I knew it would look a little different in America, but I was learning so much, and you know, I was really praying, you know, what is the purpose? And dude, I had a dream that I was running a basketball camp, and I saw a banner, and the banner said Hoops for Christ. And so I told him about this dream, and he was like, man, I think I'm supposed to help you, you know, with this. And so that's really where it came from. And then when I came home, I got with one of my best friends, and he's still with me today, Terrence Farley. He's a big 7-footer, played at the University of Louisville. I told him this vision, and on a napkin, we drew the Hoops for Christ symbol with the crown of thorns as the rim with the net hanging from it.
Holy cow.
On a napkin. And so the idea was, I want to be excellent in the area of basketball training and development, and then excellent in the area of sharing the gospel. Because what I found with different organizations I worked with in the past, or trainers and coaches, they're one or the other. Either they're really strong in their faith and the basketball is novice, or they're a world-class, excellent coach or trainer and nominal in their faith. And I wanted there to be a bridge between the two, because that was my world. I was playing pro basketball. I was working out with, you know, world-class basketball trainers and coaches. And I thought I wanted to go that route, or NBA, but I could feel the Lord calling me towards ministry as well.
That's such a crazy story. That's awesome, though, how God had just moved you, and he had the vision for you that you didn't even know at the time. That's so cool. What is your end goal with this? Is it to reach as many people as you can, or bring the basketball to people, or bring the gospel to people that love basketball?
Okay, I'm going to pitch you a vision, man. And anyone listen to this, let's see if I can pull you into this vision to be a part of it. So many people don't know the original story of how basketball was created. They know about James Naismith. They know about the Peach Basket. But what they don't know is that James Naismith was a Christian. And he actually prayed to God for the game and the rules. And he originally was going to put a stick in the game of basketball when he was creating the game. And he prayed and decided to take it out because he said it would turn into a rich man's sport like golf and tennis. He needed a poor man's sport so that missionaries could take the gospel, get into other countries with this game,
wow,
and share the gospel. Basketball is God's sport. God gave the game to James Naismith as a missionary tool. People don't know this part of the story. So his quote, when he actually did an application, he was the original director of the YMCA back when the YMCA was a Christian organization. And his quote was, his goal was to win souls to the master through the gym. That was the purpose of why he created basketball.
Wow.
And so we've gotten so far away from this, but if you ever ask yourself, why is basketball to this day still one of the fastest growing sports in the world, and it's a global game? The first people to ever take basketball to other countries were missionaries. It's a global game because a Christian created it with Christian principles, and the idea was to disciple people through a game, and then Christian missionaries took it around the world. So my part of my goal is I want to redeem that story to this generation, and I want to be a part of the generation. If you look at the unreached people groups, dude, our generation and younger, and anyone listening to this, you have a shot at being a part of the generation that finishes the Great Commission. We can reach every unreached people group on the earth, and one of the most powerful ways to do that, to reach every corner, every crack, is through the game of basketball and sports. And so my goal is through the game of basketball to share the gospel and to make disciples who make disciples. That's my goal. And right now what I'm actually working on in partnership with Origins Basketball, that's a YWAM missionary organization, is we're creating curriculum for sports ministry. So basically like basketball missions curriculum on how to share your faith through the game of basketball simply and how to disciple through the game of basketball. And I think it's going to turn into all sports. And I'm just praying that a whole revival and awakening takes place through the game of basketball and sports, that is the way we reach the next generation with the gospel.
Well, I didn't know that. Holy cow. That's so powerful. That's crazy. But Phil, thank you so much for joining me today. This was amazing to get to talk with you, and I encourage everyone to go check out, especially your social media, because you not only have some great tips for basketball, but you spread the gospel all over that thing. Thank you so much for joining the show today. It's awesome to talk with you.
All right, appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
All right, for all you people listening out there, thank you so much for tuning in today. Please make sure to share this episode and subscribe to the show. It means more to us than you could ever imagine. But if you don't get anything else from this, just remember this. Like we say every single week, and I reiterate it every single week because it's so important, Jesus loves you, and he's going to fight for you no matter what. Talk to you next time.